Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small, on all of our social media platforms and on our YouTube channel starting this season as well. It is Thanksgiving week, and if you are a coach that is practicing Thanksgiving week, that means that you're in the quarterfinals here this season in the state of Georgia. We're down to the final eight in each of the eight championship games, so the field has gone from 250-plus down to 64. John here, Hannah there, and it's a trip into 5A this time, but I know that you wanted to talk about some other stuff before we get into our discussion about 5A football this time.
Well, I'm back. I mean, that's the most
too.
Important part.
Well, that is true,
I mean, I'm
yes.
back in studio.
Yes, you're
sounding
back,
a little bit more clear.
Uh-huh.
So, and then happy Turkey Day week, everybody.
Yes.
This is a special week for people.
Yeah, and we'll talk about our turkey weeks and, mm-hmm. and how spread to the four winds they are in just mm-hmm. a little bit. But what's on your mind before we dive into 5A? You want to talk about 7A? You want to talk about anything across the board? What were some of your top takeaways from our game of the week?
Our game of the week
and
was the
any
second
other
round,
game of the week that pops into your head.
Second round showdown between one seed Milton and two seed Marietta at the Eagles' Nest.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles and senior running back Jordan McDonald were just too much for the Blue Devils, John. Final score 28-21. Milton wins it. McDonald on fire.
Mm-hmm. Had the big run.
Fire.
Had the big run running for had 248, mm-hmm. basically averaged about 10 yards a carry, but had the 80-plus yard run coming up in their first possession. And I think that kind of set the tone. There were times, I mean, it was a frantic game in the first quarter, two turnovers each side. I know that Adam Clack will be looking at that this
oh,
week
yeah.
and sitting there saying, this cannot happen. This will be one of the things that we fix. But it was a back-and-forth game. Marietta came back second half, made it close, and then you see Milton put the pedal down to win by 17, 38-21. Devin Farrell rushed for 157, passed for 104. Jordan McDonald, you said, runs for 248, mm-hmm. heading to UCF. So this go-round, and we'll get into all of the matchups on the flip side after our interviews, but Mill Creek and Milton coming up in the 7A quarters this week.
I have to say, some of the best post-game interviews. Well, the one with all the guys in the background. What game was that again? That was the best post-game interview.
Oh, Cambridge.
That was
and
the
John's
best post-game
Creek.
Interview.
Yeah.
Coach Clack telling all of his players on TV to not overeat on Thanksgiving over and over and over was hilarious. And then McDonald in his post-game interview gave a shout-out to UCF saying they were the national champs. And UCF
mm-hmm.
retweeted it.
Yeah.
And apparently it's going a little viral on social media.
Well, that's what it's there for. You know,
because
you sit there,
GPB is just viral.
Yeah, we are. So you added a syllable there. GPB is viral.
Yeah, viral.
I feel like Commander Sandy, I feel like Pauly Shore all of a sudden. It's like, chilling with the weasel.
Hannah has snapped to life.
She's
a little sleepy earlier.
Back.
She's on fire.
I'm back, baby.
She's
it must be
back.
This tea. The tea's finally working.
So she's gone to tea this week, and she was wondering where the caffeine was, but she's dragging because the tea apparently was not caffeine tea.
I think it just takes longer maybe to kick in than coffee.
Okay.
I'm feeling it now.
Are you a tea person?
Both tea and coffee. Any caffeine I'm good with.
Okay. Yeah, so because, I mean, me, traditionally, being a Pepsi guy in a Coke town or in a Coke state.
The Mountain Dew guy.
You know it. I mean, it's right here, actually.
And disclaimer, I'm allowed to have some caffeine being pregnant, everybody, so
okay, I was
no
gonna,
judgment
I was,
here.
I was going to ask about that.
Hey, I got my first dirty look the other day.
Oh, why?
I was in the Starbucks line
why?
Late.
Okay.
Had my coffee in the morning, didn't have anything throughout the day. And I was dragging. We had some stuff to do in the evening while we were putting up all of our Christmas decorations. Went into Starbucks.
Okay, so that's
I
another thing we got to talk about.
I got some dirty looks. Yeah. Some dirty looks at Starbucks.
All right, so I'm going to give her a
I
dirty look right now.
I could have been ordering anything. I could have been ordering a decaf, which I wasn't. Could have been ordering those little fruity drinks that they have.
Yeah. The dragon fruit.
Yeah, passion fruit, whatever.
Passion fruit, yeah. All right, so this is where I'm going to give you a dirty look.
Okay.
Now, I want to make sure that your mm-hmm. sentence, that you were correct with your sentence. You've already started putting up your Christmas decorations.
Oh, they're up. Done.
Oh, my.
Done.
Okay. See, now we need like a penalty flag or something here.
You guys throwing the flag on me?
It's not even
Come
Thanksgiving.
On. Oh, but it's so fun. It's festive.
Do that the day after Thanksgiving. Do the weekend after Thanksgiving is when you start putting up your Christmas
you'd
stuff.
You'd be happy to know we wait to put the outside lights up until after Thanksgiving. But everything else is done.
Excuse me? I'm sorry. That's a thumbs down from
the
Nelson
household. The day
after
Thanksgiving, the outside twinkle lights.
The boss has the orange lights up, and until after Thanksgiving, when we come back, then that's when we do all of our Christmas stuff. It's like you're jumping holidays. Why don't you just go ahead? She should just go ahead and have the Christmas decorations up all year long.
Sure.
Then.
I would love that.
That's how it should be. Then if you're just going to go ahead and do that, be like all the department stores that are just selling things for Christmas, starting like, oh, I don't know, Christmas in July.
A Hobby Lobby starts in
October.
Do you
already have the Mariah Carey playing? That's the key.
I haven't been listening to any Christmas songs yet, no.
Yeah, that's a real foul.
Yeah, no.
That's too early for that.
Probably should have played some while we were putting up the decorations, but we didn't.
I'm sorry, that's a penalty flag for me.
Yeah, so, no Mariah Carey yet.
One holiday at a time. You're jumping holidays here. You're jumping the holiday
queue.
We're
just excited. I'm just excited.
But being excited and being caffeinated about a future holiday.
Excited and caffeinated.
Excited.
Great.
Excited and caffeinated about a future holiday. You're not allowed to skip holidays.
Well, I did. We did. We do.
All right. So you want to go ahead and tease our guests and go ahead and talk
to
our first one?
Let's tease our guests. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a lot of 5A.
Mm-hmm.
They've had some epic playoff battles.
Epic playoff battles.
We'll have two coaches on today from that classification to talk all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Calhoun advanced to the quarterfinals by beating region champs Ware County. So we'll hear from head coach Clay Stevenson. We'll ring the upset alarms on that one. And Jones County put up 66 against Eastside to advance. So we'll also talk to coach Mike Chastain. So we'll be heavy 5A. We're going to look at the brackets before we bring them on. Bracket, 5A bracket. And then after the interviews, we're going to go through all the other brackets.
Okay.
So John's biggest surprises, takeaways, craziest matchups.
Sure.
We'll recap. We'll preview. So stick around after the interviews.
All right, so we got 5A. We're locked into 5A for this show, and I know that you want to look at what happened in 5A with Jones County and their offense and the madness that happened down in Waycross.
Yeah, I mean, I got my brackets from the show on Friday.
Yeah.
Brought them all with me.
Well, you see, now you can see, go ahead and flip them so everybody can see.
Oh,
yeah, there you go.
The notes are so embarrassing, though.
But that shows you how much
it's chicken scratch.
But at least you can read it, and that's what matters.
So we're going to be talking about bottom left and bottom right for our interviews. So why don't we start with top left, John?
Okay. So top left, you're
Creekside
looking at
Creekside versus Whitewater.
Creekside and Whitewater. Creekside in a shootout knocked off St. Pius 41-34. And Whitewater beat Lithia Springs. Great story in Lithia Springs making it to the second round of the playoffs. They won by 16, Whitewater 49-33. So Creekside and Whitewater, two high-powered offenses, are upper left.
All right, upper right, Villarica defeated Harris County 34-21. Blessed Trinity beat Woodward 28-13. So Villarica versus BT in the quarterfinals.
And I think that that's one of the surprises on the board was Blessed Trinity knocking off Woodward Academy as a one seed. And so BT with their running game, we all know what their running game is all about. BT makes it to the next round. They make it into the quarters, taking on a Villarica team head coached by Tim Barron. And Tim is turning things around. He knows what it means to be in the last game of the year and win the last game of the year recently with a championship at Heard County and AA knocking off Rockmart a couple years ago downtown. So you have the playoff experience of Villarica and a stern test coming with them as BT heads to VR this upcoming weekend.
Let's go bottom left. Warner Robins beat region champ Cartersville 24-17, and Jones County beat Eastside 66-42. We're going to talk a lot more about that game coming up. So Warner Robins versus Jones County in the quarters.
That one's going to be fun when we catch up with Mike Chastain here in a little bit to find out. Two towns, 30 miles apart. Get your tickets now, or like yesterday.
Get
your tickets yesterday, basically.
And finally, bottom right, Clark Central versus Calhoun. John.
Yeah, Calhoun wins the 91-point, basically an arena football game. Whoever had the ball last or was going to make that one stop, and we'll get into that with Clay Stevenson here in just a little bit. Clark Central, we know how stout they are defensively, holding Stars Mill to 7 points, winning 24-7. Dave Perno and Clay Stevenson with Calhoun going to Athens, and it's a familiar matchup with these two schools.
It is. Let's go ahead and bring on Calhoun head coach Clay Stevenson to talk all about his playoff run and that huge win against Ware County. Hey, Coach, welcome in. You edged out region champs Ware County 49-42 by stopping the Gators inside the 5-yard line with 12 seconds left. Take us through what you were thinking in that moment and talk about the game overall.
Yeah, no, the way you said it got me chilled all over again. It was a it was an exciting game. It was back and forth between two great teams. Coach Strickland at Ware County is you know, they're capable of making a run in the playoffs every year, and that's a credit to him and his staff. And it was just a knockdown, drag out type of ball game, and you know, neither team deserved to lose. It was probably going to come down to who had the ball last, and you know, we were lucky enough to make him fumble there and got the ball back with 12 seconds to get it last and win the game.
How crazy was it, considering it was a 91-point game? I mean, we were watching it, we were keeping an eye on it up here in Atlanta. And it was back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. When you have a tennis match like that, what's it like being a coach in a tennis match?
Yeah, you really just got to stay in the moment and know that every possession is a crucial possession. You know, offensively, you got to have the mindset you got to score every time you get it. And on defense, you don't need to stop them every time, but you got to trust that you're going to stop them, you know, once or twice. And I think we got two stops in the second half, and that was pretty much the difference in the game.
Well, you did it all by traveling over 300 miles, Calhoun to Waycross. You got back at like 5 a.m. Saturday morning. Talk about the travel, I guess, first, talk about the travel to the game and what that was like for your players. And on the flip side of that, what it was like coming home. I'm guessing that was a pretty quiet bus ride.
Yeah, it's a tough trip. And just the actual mileage and then logistics of everything of trying to get 100 people fed four times in a day. It's tough, and the travel and where you're going to stay. But we took the mindset that we had to embrace it. And I talked with Coach Foster that they had to, at Cartersville, they had to make the trip last year. And we kind of kept pretty much the same itinerary they did. We stopped a couple of times. We took some cornhole boards to try to pass some time at one of the stops just to get out and walk around. And then went down to Tifton, and the trip down there it is what it is, and the trip back is just brutal. You know, we got back at about 4:35, and you got to get everything done, the jerseys put in the washer and stuff. So I think we laid our head on the pillow about the time the sun was coming up. Whole weekend was just kind of a mush, and then all of a sudden it's Monday.
And yeah, and all of a sudden it's Monday, and we all know that coaches sit there and say, well, you know, if we're practicing Thanksgiving week, that's a great thing because it means we're in whatever round of the playoffs we're in. But you're talking about a holiday week coming off of a weekend where you're having to travel 300 plus miles. You fall asleep maybe 6 o'clock Saturday morning, then you're having to get right back at it. I mean, this is a grind and a half on a holiday schedule too.
It is, but you know, luckily the holiday works in our favor with this situation because, you know, we didn't have to go to school for 7 hours today and then try to practice when we got through. So we practiced this morning, and you know, we've tried to make sure we stressed the message this morning to them of that was over. Yes, it was a fun trip and enjoyable, but let's bask in that and reminisce about it after the season. We've got to make sure that we're prepared and ready to go this week, or last week didn't mean anything.
So when we have our broadcasts on Friday, we do the upset alert sirens, and 2 seed beating 1 seed Ware County was definitely had our, I mean, not a huge upset, but had our upset alert graphic ringing. What have you learned about yourself as a 2 seed throughout the playoffs so far?
I'll tell you what, our senior class is amazing. They, and I've learned something from them. They never get too high or too low. You know, they just come about their business every day and know that they've got a job to do, win, lose, or draw. They show up on Monday, you know, ready to work out and ready to practice. And, you know, something that us as coaches have to do as well. You don't let praise or criticism get you too far up or too far down. Same thing that happened in the game. You don't let good things or bad things affect you because it doesn't matter how it got to be 21-7. It was 21-7. We had to figure out a way to come back. And at halftime, you know, the message was just let's figure out a way to be in the game in the fourth quarter. And we came out and got a couple stops, and it was tied going in the fourth quarter. And, you know, I figured I knew our kids knew that's exactly where we wanted to be, and they went out and made some plays in the fourth quarter.
As we're talking, it's early in the week. What have you learned about Clark Central? What was study hall like on Sunday getting ready for Clark Central out of the blocks?
Yeah, well, when we had to get all the sleep out of our eyes because it was a tiring Saturday. But they're a big, strong, physical football team, fast. You know, we played them last year in the second round, so we're fairly familiar with them. They're coached really well. It's going to be a totally different type of ball game than it was last week. They're a very physical football team that run it probably 80% of the time. So making sure we put Friday night and Saturday morning past us and look forward to Clark Central is huge for us this week, because they're a great football team. Their two losses are to Buford and Oconee County.
Right.
And that's pretty much all I had to tell our players, and it got their attention, because they're, you know, two of the top teams in the state in any classifications most years. So they definitely have our full attention, and hopefully we can have a good week of practice and be ready to go on Friday.
So I'm putting it in my GPS. This one's 127 miles, 2 hours and 17 minutes to Athens. How are you preparing for another road trip?
Yeah, that's going to be like going to the grocery store. It's not a hard trip at all. We made it last year. My parents and family live in Commerce, Jefferson area, so it's not a hard trip at all. We're going to go and stop somewhere near Jefferson or Commerce and kind of do our walkthroughs and stuff, and then head on over to Athens. So it's a lot, logistically, a lot easier trip than last week.
All right, so since you mentioned your family, let's get into Thursday. And we might cycle back to some Friday questions, but let's get into some Thursday questions here.
Yeah, let's get into the important stuff, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so what is Thanksgiving like at the Stevenson household?
Well, the challenge is always, you know, when we're playing football, the challenge is always to not eat as much as I want to eat, because we'll leave here after morning practice and drive to Commerce and spend one Thanksgiving there, and then we go to another family's Thanksgiving that evening. Then we turn around and drive back home. And then, ironically, this year, get on a bus.
You've got to drive back.
Right back to exactly where we just were. So it's a good time, and it's a lot of travel, but we don't get to see that part of our family too much. So we're looking forward to it, and then really looking forward to getting back over there Friday and getting to play.
So your message to the team is do not overeat.
That is correct. Yes, that's a huge thing, because all of us, want to sit down and eat all day and watch football, and you know, hopefully we can, the kids especially, can just eat a plate or two and move on.
All right, so when you're fixing your plate, and it can be at either stop one, stop two, or stop three, what is on your plate? What's the go-to meal for you?
You're about to make us all hungry, John.
On Thanksgiving. What's your go-to plate?
I got to have some turkey. The dressing has to be made the right way. I don't like many onions in it. So I think one of my aunts makes it one way and one of them makes it the other way. So I'm not going to tell you which one
I
like.
So are you the guy that kind of sits there and looks for the onion, and you kind of take the spoon and you kind of carve around the onion just so you can get that section?
Yeah, well, you got to get something of everything to make all your family members happy, and then you can kind of dissect it once you get back to your plate. But not a cranberry sauce guy at all. So that's one thing that I will pass up. So, but other than that, I'm gonna put it all on my plate and at least try it.
Sounds delicious.
Okay, so then
stomach is growling.
Yeah, well, it's growling, and before we started taping, there was the other element in all of this, is that Hannah is probably going to have championship babies.
Yes, what John is predicting.
I'm predicting championship babies.
But Coach Stevenson had championship babies too. Who knew?
I did.
Great.
It was exciting, yes.
So how did you spend your first Christmas with newborns? This is the advice column section. This is why I wanted to kind of ask this question,
all
too.
All the men tune out here. I'm just joking.
What kind of advice would you give Hannah and her husband for the first Christmas with newborns?
Yeah, I'd say it was awesome. We 2014 was our first one. My wife was very pregnant, as you were describing. Went to the Washington County football game, and we weren't sure if we were going to be able to, if she was going to have it there or what we're going to do. So anyway, I get through. She had it 3 days later, and Christmas time was awesome. It was perfect for us, because we're teachers and we're out of school, so we get to spend as much time as we could with them. But it's an awesome, awesome experience, and especially around Christmas time. You know, your emotions and your feelings are already on your sleeves, and having a kid then is going to be awesome.
Yeah, you said December 17th, right?
That's correct.
And we're December 20th, so it's going to be
we're going to be
close.
Awesome! It's going to be exciting.
All right, so back to Friday. We push through Thursday and getting to Friday. One of the things that we like to do here on the show. And with our programming on the TV side is the Make That Kid an Offer segment. We do that on Recruiting 2021. And I know that we've had a chance to focus on Cole with how incredible a talent he is and how integral he is to your offense. When it comes to your roster, is there anyone that you could sit there and wave your hand up in the air and for whatever reason, overlooked, understarred, underappreciated, not getting the looks that you think, is there anyone on your roster that you could sit there and say, I'd like for you to make this kid an offer or make this kid a better offer? Who qualifies for that
100%.
For your roster?
Our right guard, Jace Warren, he is a great offensive lineman, nasty. He gets after, he finishes blocks. And he's one that I feel like getting a little bit overlooked. I think he's gonna get his due, but it's I feel like he's getting overlooked for sure.
Well, Coach, obviously you've got a shorter road trip this week going up against Clark Central in the 5A quarterfinals. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Thanks for letting us know what's on your go-to plate for Thanksgiving. We figured since this is the Thanksgiving episode, we'd ask some Thanksgiving questions. Great win against Ware County on a tremendous road trip. Good luck this week against Clark Central. Thanks for hanging out with us on the show.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it, guys, and I appreciate all of the coverage you give to high school sports. We appreciate it.
Coach Chastain, you put up 66 points against Eastside in the second round last Friday. How were you able to do that, and take us through your game?
Well, first of all, it wasn't me, and it wasn't any coach. We got really good players, but our offense coordinator, defense coordinator, they both do a phenomenal job, and so I want to tip their hat. But John Allen, is we call him Jar, he's playing really good ball right now. I think he was 81% the other night in the game, and threw it 40-something times, I believe. And he played really good. Our running back had a phenomenal game. He rushed for over 200 yards in the game. So our guys just are starting to execute and hit everything at the right time. We're really hitting on all cylinders right now. We got everybody healthy, and just glad to see what can happen over the next few weeks.
When you've got a quarterback like John Allen Richter and
Jar,
I know it's Jar.
I love that.
So when you have as jarring a quarterback as you have,
thank you,
there at Jones County this year. I mean, what's it been like since we caught up with you at your spring game? And I know that it was getting him integrated into the offense, getting him comfortable. What's it been like to see his game grow this year to where it is right now?
It's really been awesome. I mean, he's has blossomed in so many ways. When he was in the ninth grade, a lot of folks didn't think he would. I mean, just everybody kind of matured before him, kind of maybe. He's just physically starting to hit everything going at the right time. And he's had two really really good years, and this senior year and off season has been awesome for him. And he's just a great kid, first of all, and a football junkie. He loves it. Toledo just offered him. Lehigh has already offered him. There's been several other guys that are interested in him. I think he's going to be a phenomenal get for whoever ends up getting him over the next few weeks. So he's just a great young man, and when he's on, it's pretty hard to stop.
I just pulled up his recruiting profile, and 247 Sports needs to get with it because they have no offers on here.
Yeah, they need to get with it. I mean, let's get into this. You know, traditionally on our Friday night programming, we have the Recruiting 2021 show that precedes our game of the week. And there's a segment at the end of the show that we call Make That Kid an Offer. And for whatever reason, overlooked, underappreciated, understarred, and I think that Jar probably fits into this. We always like to ask the question, make this kid an offer or make this kid a better offer. Who on your roster this year would qualify for that, and would John Allen be in that category too?
Well, Jar has already got an offer, but yes, no doubt if he didn't, he would definitely fall in that. But I think we have a couple guys. We have a center that is the strongest kid on our team. He's a 375 cleaner, which is at the state meet, if they had a state meet, which we don't compete in, but he probably would win it most years at that number, and really strong, really smart. He wants to be an engineer, so he's probably not going to take an offer, but because he wants to go to Georgia Tech and be an engineer. But if it were to happen, I mean, he's definitely a guy that I think someone should offer. He's only 5'11", But he is a really good center for us and has been the anchor for our offensive line this year. And then we have another guy that's a three-year starter for us at in the secondary. But, again, just a little bit undersized, a little short, but people tried him all year long. And the odds are he's come out on top most of the time, and he's a really good player. That's Tay Whipple, and the center was Grayson Duggar.
Love an academic guy. I mean, engineer at Georgia Tech, that is something special.
That's strong.
Yeah. Well, I want to get back into the playoffs. You're putting up some serious numbers. 56 points against Griffin. Like I said, 66 points against Eastside. You got Warner Robins coming up, who just beat the region champ Cartersville. What are your expectations for that game? I mean, you're averaging
61
points, so high expectations for you, Coach.
Well, it's going to be a tall task. They're really good, and they're not giving up points nowhere near that throughout the season, and they are putting up big numbers themselves. They're a really good team. Everything is advertised, and Coach Westbrook over there and those guys do a phenomenal job. I mean, they play with phenomenal tempo on offense and in the blink of an eye, I actually watched the Lee County game and I watched several films now, but I watched that live and I was just kind of amazed at how fast they scored. And I mean, they just do a really good job. And so we've got a very tough task in front of us, and hopefully we can get out there and do the best we can do.
And it's two great football towns, and this is something that, you know, we talked about on last week after your win, but I wanted to address it again here, is that it's two great football towns that are about 30 miles apart. I guess my first sub-question is, have tickets gone on sale, and have you already sold out?
No, they haven't gone on. I think they're going on sale, or they may have been on sale usually going on sale around 12 or 1 o'clock on Monday. So, being that it's Turkey Week and all, I don't know if our AD has got them up yet or not, but I'm sure it will sell out soon or whatever. There'll be a big crowd. I know that. I know Warner Robins travels well, and it is awesome, and so I have no doubt it'll be a phenomenal atmosphere.
What's it like with these two football towns? You've spent time in Warner Robins. You know what what football means to Warner Robins, and now you're spending time in Gray and know what it means to Jones County. What does football, for someone who's never been in Middle Georgia to see a game, what does football mean to these two football towns?
Well, I mean, you know, and at Warner Robins, I mean, it's what the community does. It's not football, just football. It's baseball, basketball,
right.
If you can say anything here. I mean, the community loves their sports here, and I think our school does a phenomenal job at getting making sports important, and you can tell with the crowd. We generally put a pretty good crowd in the stands for every game, and it's not just because of what we're doing right now. It's the people in Gray, man. They're awesome, and they love their sports, and they come out in a mighty way to support every sport, not just football.
You've been with Jones County for three seasons since 2019, made it to the semifinals each year. So if you beat Warner Robins mm-hmm. on Friday, you would go to the semifinals for the third year in a row. What's been the secret behind having success right off the bat there at Jones County?
Well, I was very fortunate to follow Coach Rogers, and I've been – very fortunate to be around a lot of really, really good head coaches throughout the state. I've been in a lot of places, and I think there's a bunch of keys that you have to be able to get things going. And one, first and foremost, is the admin and the support from the central office. And it is second to none here in Jones. And I tell people all the time, if you can't be successful here, it's probably got something to do with the coaching. Because they really do a great job of giving you what you need and to be successful and still maintaining the respect of academics and I just think it's a great place. It really is, and we have good players. And when you're in a one horse town that where all the players come to you all the time, it's an awesome deal. So We have really good players, and we got good coaching, we got good admin support, we got good facilities. That's key to being able to have success, first of all, and then just being able to find a way to stay healthy long enough to play good in the playoffs. I think that's big too. So, and lastly, and for certainly not least, but the good Lord's got to bless you, and I think He's blessed us in a mighty way. So we're just gonna keep giving Him glory and honor for letting us play this far.
Mike Chastain, the head coach of Jones County, hanging out with us for another couple of minutes on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Now, it's a holiday week. It's Thanksgiving week. Yes, you want to be practicing, and no, there's no school, so you're somewhat you can kind of have a singular focus. But how difficult is it to practice during a holiday week with family demands and all this kind of stuff? How difficult is it to practice on a week like this?
I think it's tough a little bit sometimes. I think you got people that have stuff going on, but a lot of times in football, to make it to be able to play on Thanksgiving week is a big honor, and a lot of people don't ever get to do that. So it's a little easier on this week than it is most. And then obviously when you got a big game like this week that we have, I don't think it'll be hard at all getting our guys fired up ready to practice this week.
Let's talk a little bit more about Thanksgiving. What's Thanksgiving like there at the Chastain household? What do you guys do?
Well, usually we spend time with family and friends, and this Thanksgiving Thursday we'll have some family over at our house, and then Saturday, which would be kind of neat. After the game, we'll meet in Warner Robins and eat at my brother's house. But when we do that, we have all of our family from South Georgia come up, and Kelly Chastain is the offensive line coach at Warner Robins. He was there with me at Warner Robins, and he'll be there Saturday, and him and his family from South Georgia, from Thomasville, will be there. So it'll be neat. I'll actually spend Thanksgiving or Saturday after Thanksgiving eating Thanksgiving dinner with one of the opposing team coaches.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be cool.
So when you fill out your plate, and this is a question that we asked Clay Stevenson of Calhoun. So when you're filling out your plate, what's on it?
Well, a lot.
Too much.
Yeah, really. There's one thing I don't like, and that's olives. So if they don't have olives in it, I'm
right
I'm
there
probably
with you.
Nice.
Chance at eating it.
So. Okay. So cranberry, homemade or out of the can?
Again, if it ain't olive.
He's eating it, John.
I'll be honest with you, I don't usually grab a cranberry a whole lot, but as I get older, I start grabbing a little bit more, so I'm not an expert.
Okay, so light meat or dark?
I'm a light meat guy. I am, yeah.
Okay. Stuffing. Is it dressing or stuffing?
Dressing.
Okay. Let's see. What's your desserts?
Ooh.
Gotta have a pecan pie in there, yeah.
Pecan pie, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Is there something that is made inside the Chastain family tree that is like a homemade dish that's brought in? Because my wife...
This is the turkey interrogation.
It is. It's Thanksgiving interrogation because this is what's important. Is there a homemade dish that is brought into the equation, or is there something that's a little off the beaten track? Because the boss in my household has a dish that is a rice dish that is straight up, it's like consomme and white rice, and it is the most fattening thing ever, and it is the most glorious thing ever that she adds to our Thanksgiving meals. Is there anything that's out of the beaten track that's brought to the table from the Chastain household?
I would say... probably not, but if there was, here lately, my mom has been bringing brisket from a place in Warner Robins called Martin's. It's been phenomenal.
Writing this down.
I haven't heard of brisket for Thanksgiving before. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, I hadn't either until she brought it, but man, when she brings it, it's definitely all gone because it's phenomenal to eat. No, I don't think we do a whole lot real different, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Our staple is broccoli casserole. It sounds gross, but it's so good. Lots of cheese.
We've had broccoli casserole plenty of times. I wouldn't say that's gross. That's a good choice.
Okay. All right. So now, last question for you, and thanks for hanging out for all of these incredibly insightful questions, considering it is Thanksgiving week. Okay. Hannah has already put up her Christmas tree in her house.
Mm-hmm. All the decorations are up.
All the decorations are up except for the outside portion of the house. When it comes to putting up holiday decorations, have you skipped a holiday and you already headed toward Christmas, or are you waiting until after Thanksgiving to put up your Christmas stuff?
I would bet that we beat Hannah. We've had our Christmas decorations up for probably 3 or 4 weeks.
Right? Oh, they have me beat, John.
Wow.
We did ours last week.
My wife loves it. We had fall break. I don't know whenever that was, and I had to get something out of our storage shed, and while we were out there, she said, go ahead and get the Christmas tree and stuff out. So,
while you're out there, honey, go ahead and get all the boxes in. Love it.
We've had it up for a good bit now. So,
well, Coach, thanks for hanging out with us and giving us a bit of a preview with your game against Warner Robins, the game that is going to be the central focus of all of Middle Georgia. It's going to be a great game in 5A. Great to catch up with you. We've had a fantastic season so far to date. Thanks for hanging out with us for all the insightful Thanksgiving questions and previewing what's going to happen with Warner Robins this week. Thanks for hanging out with us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Both coaches were such good sports with our turkey interrogation.
Yeah, well, and the holiday interrogation. And to find out that Coach Chastain actually beat you hanging up holiday Christmas decorations?
People love Christmas.
Yeah, and they also like making Christmas in July, where we can sit there and buy things in July, and they put up their Christmas decorations. Why don't we just go ahead and make it a 12-month holiday then?
I know. And we don't want to leave out any other holiday celebrations.
Uh-uh.
So we are saying happy holidays to all of the holidays.
Yes. Happy holidays to all of you holidays.
All of them.
Yes.
All of them.
All right. So what's on your mind before we go?
All right. Well, as promised, let's get through some of these brackets, John.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to skip over 5A because we've been talking about that quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to 7A.
Mm-hmm.
We took a look at our game of the week, which was Milton Marietta.
Yep.
So Milton will play Mill Creek.
Correct.
Let's look at, what about Grayson Roswell, top right of 7A bracket?
Yep, Roswell with the big come-from-behind win against North Cobb, and they're going to be hosting Grayson. I know a lot of folks are looking at Collins Hill and Lowndes down at the Concrete Palace.
Mm-hmm.
Our game on Football Fridays, by the way, is Walton and Brookwood.
Yes, it is.
Recruiting 2021 at 7 o'clock, and our kickoff from a Brookwood Community Stadium a little after 7:30.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go right ahead to 6A.
A lot of folks are gravitating toward Buford and Lee County in that one because
bottom
that's
right,
the two
baby.
Heavyweights, low right. Decula's got a home game with Johns Creek, Northside, Warner Robins, and Hughes, and Westlake, and Carrollton as well.
Skipping over 5A.
Mm-hmm.
4A.
Marist and Benedictine.
Yep, that's where I was going.
Yeah, Marist and Benedictine. A lot of folks are looking at that one with Holden Gariner at quarterback for Benedictine, putting up some ridiculous numbers offensively as a team. Stout defense for Danny Britton and the Cadets, but Marist and Alan Chadwick having to go to the coast to take on Benedictine. And a lot of folks also looking at Cedartown, Perry, Doherty, Carver, and North Oconee and Bainbridge. That's a pack of lunch, a dinner, and a midnight snack trip for North Oconee. Having to go to Bainbridge, tough test for them going to go up against the Bearcats.
AAA, I'm going Cedar Grove, Crisp County.
No question. And the interesting subplot there with Miguel Patrick, the former head coach at Cedar Grove, now the head coach at Crisp, and we've had him on the postgame show for a couple of weeks in a row. That's going to be a big game down in Cordele. And once again, if you don't have your tickets yet, you probably should get them like now.
Get them.
Now, as we say. And Peach and Pierce, keep an eye on Peach after knocking off Monroe area, having to go on the road down to Blackshear to take on the defending champs.
All right, AA, where are you going, John?
Raven County and Thomasville.
Okay.
I think with Gunnar Stockton, with everything that he's been able to do offensively, we had Jabo Shaw on the show a couple weeks ago, going up against a stout defense at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Zach Grage will have them ready. But Raven County and Thomasville, that one's going to be stout low right.
All right, Class Single A Public, Macon County, Irwin County.
Yep, and that one's going to be in Osceola, but also, you know, you got to keep an eye on Turner County and Metter.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks were looking at that one. Our friend Maurice Freeman having to go to Warren County to take on the Screaming Devils of Warren County, Manchester and Wilcox. Manchester makes it through as a 4 seed again, and they now get to go to Wilcox County and take on the Stowe Show there in Rochelle.
And finally, Class Single A Private. Fellowship Christian Calvary Day?
Yeah, and you're going to have to go to the coast again if you're Tim McFarland, having to go all the way from Fellowship down to Calvary Day. So Mark Stroud, we've seen what they've been able to do, rank number two, number three in the polls most of the season for GPB and GPB.org. But keep an eye on Holy Innocents and Eagles Landing Christian as well. Came into the playoffs at 4-6, but not necessarily a surprise considering how folks have to schedule around Eagles Landing Christian. That's going to be a stout one as well on the left-hand side, upper left.
So 64 teams.
Correct.
Narrowing it down to 32.
Yes.
Woo! What about the coin flip this week? How did all that go down?
Coin flip went to the upper bracket, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll keep an eye on that. And so once again, for the semifinals, it's the upper bracket that is your coin flip winner. Keep an eye on that for your home field advantage and all of your home seeds if you're tied. If you have the same seeding, if you're a number one or a two seed or whatever it is, then the upper section of the bracket will win.
All right. Well, we skimmed through these brackets. You guys watch Countdown to Kickoff on Thursday at noon.
Yes.
Wednesday at noon.
Thursday at noon, I'm probably in transit to Alabama for Thanksgiving.
Wednesday at noon, we are going to break down all of this even more. Mm-hmm. So join us on GPB Sports Facebook Live.
Yep.
Countdown to Kickoff Thursday at noon.
True.
For full bracketology.
Accurate.
I mean, we might just make it like a whole bracketology show.
A whole bracketology show. But Commander Sandy doesn't care about that. She's like, you know, I'm already done. This show's the podcast is in the can. So what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving now that we're asking?
Just staying here. Okay. Keeping it low key. Mm-hmm. My mom will come over.
So is there a special Commander Sandy family dish that's introduced into it? Is it pretty much the normal
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, just the normal stuff. My mom makes a really good lemon meringue.
Oh,
as well.
See, that's not
apple
fair.
And lemon.
That is absolutely not stuff. Fair.
Yeah.
A good lemon meringue pie. Whoa. I mean that for me, it's like literally, it's like I don't know what y'all are having for dessert, but you know, if I was over at your Thanksgiving, I would definitely be like, it's like, oh, there's a lemon meringue pie. And you just kind of slide it off the table and kind of walk out with the whole thing.
Yes.
Not just a slice, but the whole thing. Literally.
There it is, there it isn't.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's like the scene in Beverly Hills Cop. It's like there's something in your hand over here, and then you're looking over here into this hand. And it's just like you're not paying attention to what's going on over here. All of a sudden, that lemon meringue pie just kind of disappears and walks out the door. And I might just walk out the door with it. Yeah. Just like try and track this lemon meringue pie down. Good luck on that.
Pie? What pie?
Exactly.
Something on my in-laws' side that's not necessarily a dish that I like, but it's very interesting. They're from Indiana.
Okay.
And she does an oyster stuffing.
Yeah, not having. Nope.
It's not my favorite.
Nope.
And it's but everybody, you know, puts a little on their plate.
Well, that's a courtesy.
Yeah. That's one of the weirdest things that I've heard.
That is the Thanksgiving courtesy of putting a little bit of something. It's like, oh, you brought the whatever the dish was.
Not a fan.
You
brought the oyster stuffing. That's great.
Thank you.
It's like, I'll go get
smells
some.
Smells delicious.
I'll go get some.
Yeah, the smell alone is
I'll go get some. I'll be right back.
Oh, man.
But
we hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving.
That, yes.
And we're right back to work on Friday.
Yep, that is
Walton Brookwood.
Yep, recruiting 2021 at 7 and kickoff a little after 7:30. And when the game's over, it's not over because Hannah and I will have the post-game show brought to us by our friends of the Governor's Office of Highway Safety to take you through the quarters and get you ready for the semis on a holiday weekend.
Yeah, and it'll be nice. 32 teams. It'll be easier to talk about.
Well, it's always easy to talk about this stuff.
I know, but man, that gets jumbled.
It does.
The show's fun, though. Love the post-game show.
Well, once again, thanks to Clay Stevenson, the head coach at Calhoun. Thanks to Mike Chastain, the head coach at Jones County, for taking a peek at the 5A quarterfinals. Thanks to Commander Sandy, King James, and Jake the Snake for hanging out with us here, making sure that the ones and twos are what they are always supposed to be. So once again, like, friend, be a part of the conversation on all of our social media platforms across the board. And if you're watching us on YouTube, let us know what you think about the show being on YouTube this year. So for everyone behind the glass and for Hannah, play it safe, everybody. Enjoy your quarterfinals. We'll catch up with you next week.